kick ass.
Whoa, that's kick ass.
Make your life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So g'day. I want to welcome you back to the show. This is the 30-minute show, which means that I am riding solo. And I got to tell you, I am in the Hunter Valley region of Australia. And I just tell you, it's so beautiful here. It's, I don't know if you've ever traveled to the Napa Valley, or if you've ever been through the Rhine region in Germany, or whether you've been through the Okanagan Valley in Canada, and there's so many great wine regions of the world. But obviously, this is one of them, and it's extremely beautiful. And of course, I had a little Australian moment, which I should probably share with you as I came in. Of course, I'm in Australia, but I mean, we probably have a little backdrop. What do you think? Yeah, here you go. But as we're sort of coming round the corner of the winery, which is called Chateau Elan, which sounds so Australian, doesn't it? And there's these kangaroos. They look like they were perched on top of this hillside, probably about 1,000 meters from the road. And so we decided to hike up and meet with them, have a little chin wag, have a little walkabout. And so we did. We walked up on this hillside, and it's these roos were inquisitive, as they are. And as we got closer and closer, the dominant male stood right up. And he's like, you know, very proud of his manhood as he exposed it to us. And just stood there and in defense of the youngsters and the girls in the group. And of course, we live in Canada with grizzly bears, so... And black bears, so I didn't have any real fear around this, and just wandered up and was very gentle in my words and really wanted to get close to them. So if you've been to, if you've ever watched any of the touts we post, which is on tout.com, I actually captured a video of this whole group sort of hopping away. And as this one group, there was probably only about 20 of them there, hopped away, I sort of looked down into the valley, and there were hundreds of them just hopping away. So they were spooked by this other group. So it was awesome. You know, it's just that there is something about seeing kangaroos in the wild. And it's interesting even watching even some of the locals. They're sort of not taking it for granted, is that they really are such a different species and such a different, interesting character. They have this character about them. And the other day we were in Perth, and we saw this little joey pop out of a pouch. And I'm kidding, not kidding you, it's like half the size of the kangaroo itself, the mother, was this joey. I don't even know how big that pouch is, but I'm sure, I'm 6'3". I bet you I could get most of me in there. It would seem that way. So anyway, so welcome from Australia, and you know, I'm gonna play a few little didgeri in the background here. I'm not at home, so obviously I'm not pushing this through the mixer, so the sound is gonna be a little bit wobbly. But you know, we put up with that, right? We're traveling around the world. We got to do what we can do with what we got. This reminds me of last year when I was here. I actually was in just outside of the outskirts of Perth. In a little town called Fremantle, and I went to a didgeridoo store, and they had a concert one night. So there's all these didgeridoo masters coming in and sharing this talent. I mean, I don't know if you've ever really looked at a didgeridoo, but again, when I look at the instruments around the world, the variety and the, I mean, it's remarkable. It's remarkable that every single region of the world has its own music and its own style of music and creates music out of the most incredible things. And a didgeridoo, think of it as like a hollow trunk, and you just wonder, that first guy or girl that picked this thing up, that they were able to create this sound and turn it into music. And it's amazing when you sit in a didgeridoo concert and you watch this happen and you feel the vibration of the didgeridoo throughout your body. It really is quite remarkable. It's an amazing feeling. So anyway, so it's a 30-minute show, and I was wondering, you know, what do we talk about today? And so as I sort of sit here in the Hunter Valley, and you know, I've already had a couple of glasses. I've had a couple of glasses of champagne. it's funny. My sister was telling me the other day. She said, because somebody had had mentioned about my laugh and not liking the way I laugh, and she said that she finds my laugh annoying as well. Well, you know, that's everyone has their own opinion. That's all I can tell you. And not everyone has to love what you think or what you do. But, you know, one of the things that I'm reminded about only when I travel, you know, we were up in Perth the other day with two friends of ours, Nick and Eve. And I did a show about Nick and Eve when I was in the airport in Taiwan. This is a whole year ago. And Nick was actually in... he was like, been in this massive accident, and I mean, he'd had 3/4 of his skull removed, and, or at least half his skull removed anyway, you know, immense swelling of the brain. And here he is, we just spent, some time with them and stayed at their home. It's remarkable to see his recovery. I mean, it really is quite a miracle. And now he's, you know, adventure racing and doing triathlons, and this is just a year later. And, you know, they really didn't think he'd ever function again. And when I was here last year, I mean, he was functioning at the level of probably a 6 or 8 year old. And so it was remarkable to be with him and just see his recovery. And he's got now a sort of a steel, they call him tin lid, because he had a tin, he's now got a tin frontal sort of skull that's completely been replaced by this sort of man-made fabric. But just remarkable kind of a recovery. And so we're hanging out with them and going doing stuff. And, you know, we stumbled across a winery. We were up sort of, we went to a wildlife sanctuary, I suppose they call it, or reserve or whatever you call it. You know, and the girls had not ever held koala bears. And that's one of their sort of on their bucket list. And I'm a big believer that, you know, when you create the stories of your life, that you really should create, sort of look at your bucket list of things you would really love to do in your lifetime, the things you've dreamed of doing, and just use those as benchmarks to sort of go and create the sort of the adventure of that day or the adventure of a story. So when we were sort of deciding what to do, I just said, what is it you would love to do? And I've already held a koala, so it wasn't big on my list anymore. But I mean, obviously it was on, I could see it in both the Eve and Jen's eyes that they'd love to do it. So I said, let's just go do it. And we did. And we ended up having a really, really phenomenal day. So much fun. But one of the parts of the day which stands out, when I was just saying to Jen, I said, you know, I'm not sure what I should talk about on the show today. And that typically happens just about 30 seconds before I push the button and push record. And I think what it was, she said, was about something I do sort of unconsciously, and that I'm always sort of creating these stories in my life, is asking for what I want. And a couple of examples would be, a few days before we were up in Perth, we were at a place, which you must have heard the show. If you listen to the show regularly, you've heard the show where we were in Hayman Island. And, you know, the island itself was unbelievably beautiful, but we sort of rented a helicopter for the day and we went over to the Great Barrier Reef and did snorkeling. And but on the way back, I'd been told by the people we chartered the helicopter from that the helicopter would not stop anywhere on the way home. And one of the things that I really, really wanted on my bucket list was to land a helicopter on a beach, you know, and then just sort of get out and still feel the sand on my toes. And, you know, and if you go on my website now on either the David T.S. Wood, which is my primary page, or the Kick-Ass Life page, you'll see photographs of this helicopter on the beach. And it's Whitehaven Beach. It's kind of one of the top 3 to 5 beaches in the entire world. And what happened, what was different was, I kind of knew in the morning that I was wanted to make this happen. But I didn't fret about it. I didn't go into it too much. I just knew my intention was to make this happen. And then what happened was, as we were flying close to the beach, I looked at the pilot and I said, hey, buddy, this is a... Just love to land and take some photographs and feel the sand on my toes. And typically what happens when I ask for what I want, he just looked at me and said, sure, no worries. And he just landed the helicopter. Now, I was told by the people we paid for the helicopter with and by the tour operator and everyone else like that, can't happen. Not going to happen. Because I asked the question. But because I knew that they said no, then it was at the discretion of the relationship that I'd built with the pilot. And we'd had a great time. I'd included him a lot, not deliberately to get what I wanted, just because that's a kick-ass life way to live, is that you have relationships. And you, when you do, when people know, trust, and like you, and I will say those again, when people know, trust, and like you, they're likely to do things for you that they wouldn't normally do. They're likely to go out of their way to do some things, and not because you want it, because really you would do anything for them. I mean, I always come from that sort of perspective of, you know, I'm not expecting anything, but I'm always going to ask. Always going to ask people to, if I want something, I'm going to ask for it. And what we found on this trip, and I really wasn't aware of it until Jen pointed it out to me and said, look, you know, it's amazing that everywhere we go, things happen. And I said, well, what do you think that is? And she said, well, it seems to be because you ask for it. You just sort of like, you go and ask for things that most people are not going to ask for. And another example of that, when we were out in Perth with Nick and Eve, as we go to a winery and we're kind of late getting there and it's closed. And so the lady behind the counter, I bet she's about 4'9", tiny little lady, and Anna. And, you know, the first thing about any real connection is honest rapport. Honest rapport is just, there's no objective. There's no wanting to get something. There's no nothing. There's no agenda. There's simply the fact that when you really want to sort of lead a kick-ass life, that you genuinely see people, you genuinely notice people, you care about people. So there's an energy which needs to be sort of like front and center. And that energy is something that we all can do if we are interested in sort of connecting on a deeper level, on a more beautiful level. And so, of course, she's there, we're connecting, she tells us the restaurant's closed. And so we say, well, can we try some wine? So she said, yeah, we're at a winery. And so now the connection continues and we're bantering back and forth. We start to have a few jokes, a few laughs here and there, you know. And finally, I look at her, I said, I know that you really want to cook for us. I said, I can just feel it. I get this sense that you really just want to run in the kitchen there. I said, in fact, I'll even come in there and help you. And because it was so beautiful, we were in this beautiful space at a beautiful winery, and there's a beautiful view outside. And, you know, and the only thing that was missing, that we really were quite hungry and we wanted to stay. And after about maybe 10 minutes, she just out of nowhere really looks at us and says, hold on a sec, let me go to the kitchen and see what I can do. And she was just lovely. And she made the most beautiful cheese plates with exotic cheeses and crackers and fruit. And then she made some pâté and it all came out. And we went and sat outside with a great bottle of wine and just sat out there in this gorgeous views and just had fun for an hour and a half, whatever. And again, so I suppose the big question or the big lesson for me that I'm probably not as aware of, I'm not as conscious of, but I realize, you know what? I'm always going to ask. I'm always going to ask. And when I ask people, I'm not asking with the agenda or the need to get something, but I'm always willing to give as much as I'm ever willing to receive. And I'm willing to give that up front. I'm always willing to pay that service up front. I always say, I've said this many times on my shows, that, you know, the whole world's waiting for somebody else to go first. And with Anna, to notice her, to see her, to laugh with her, to appreciate her, to acknowledge her as a human being, to be in that moment with her and be really there. And in those moments when you can connect on a rich level in seconds, and of course, you know, 10 and a half years of traveling around the world like I did, it's probably one of those big muscles I did build, is the ability to connect with strangers quickly, because there's no time. And there's some really easy ways, I think, that people can connect. And so if you're, as a kick-ass life practitioner, and I know I've been using that term now for the last three shows, I don't know where it came from, but I like it, a practitioner of a kick-ass life, then we are going to be masters of connecting. You know, authentic connection, you know, and authentic connection, you know, is really this wonderful ability to smile with our eyes. We have these wrinkles in the corner of our eyes and willing to look at, notice people. I would say that, you know, as we walk down the road, there's this ability to be fascinated and interested. And when I connect with people, I'm always looking for the gold. And I believe it's there. I don't care if you're covered in tattoos, you're wearing a big leather jacket, and you're acting like a dick. I know behind that facade is this prince, or this wonderful human being. And that the reason why typically most of us shield ourselves with the bravado or the ego or the tattoos, and I'm not saying anything wrong with tattoos, although I don't like them myself personally. I understand why people do. And my nephew's an amazing tattoo artist. If you're in England, I know we have this massive, massive contingent of people in England. I want you to look up Inky Joe. And he's in Sudbury in Suffolk. And you can go on his website, look at his tattoos. This is my nephew, Joe. And man, he's lovely. He's edgy, just like you like people. Edgy, funny. He's going to tell you the truth. He's right in your face. But I have so much respect and love for him. Obviously, we're family, right? But he's just so talented. I'd love to have more of his art. I have none yet, Joe, if you're listening to this show, my friend. But if you're in England, go and get your tattoos done there. I know that you're going to say he's one of the most incredibly gifted tattoo artist probably in the world. And even though I don't like tattoos, I'm willing to promote him because I see the artistry of his craft. But again, you know, if you looked at him some days as he's grown up, you know, with studs and tattoos, and it'd be so easy to sort of look at that on the outside and misread it and think that there were some hard ass, you know, whatever, especially if he's got his hair cut short, you know, or his bald head, sometimes he has it really cropped. You know, how do you sort of interpret the look? And what I found is that the look has nothing to do with the heart, and that Joe has the most impeccable heart and beautiful spirit, and just totally, totally, totally special human being, and really, really talented. And yet, you know, we look at people and we judge the book by the cover type of scenario. And so, you know, one of the things that I really pride myself on is that I'm not looking at that external picture of someone. I'm asking great questions. I mean, so when I meet anyone, the questions going through the back of my head is, I wonder what's amazing about this person. I wonder what they're passionate about. I wonder what kind of friendship we could have, you know, if we spent more time together. I mean, I was just fascinated, interested, curious. You know, and I'm not saying I like everyone, because I'm not that person that says I like everyone. I think everyone's likable. I mean, some people, you know, you're just a grumpy prick. That's all right. But I mean, you know, I think people can get over that too. I think that when you surround people with really positive human beings, it's very hard to be a grumpy prick. But I do think that we do judge, and I think that we also don't just judge the tattoos and the studs and that, and it doesn't even have to be that. It could be a suit. Some people are as intimidated by a business suit and a, you know, a great cut of cloth and beautiful shoes as they are by someone in leathers, and so it's the same way. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I'm using the tattoos as an example, but often people are intimidated by another look or another feel. And so the truth is, I think, you know, as kick-ass life practitioners, you know, our ability to see past and into the heart of human beings quickly and connect on a deep level. And in that connection, there is no expectation, there's no agenda, there's no wanting anything. There's just really wanting to leave something and leave a little piece of our own light, a piece of our own heart. And really, curiosity is such a wonderful thing. And I remember this happened to me. This is really interesting. This happened to me. I was in a bathroom in Phoenix, Arizona this summer. And I was at a fancy dress place. And I was dressed as an AC. If you go on my website, thekickasslife.com, you'll see some of these photographs. I'm dressed like a, you know, it's an 80s theme. I'm dressed like an 80s rocker with, you know, the big sort of silver, you know, big high platform shoes and the big hair and everything else like that. As I walk in the bathroom, there's a guy in there, and he's taking a photograph of himself, and he's covered in tats as well, right? He's got covered in tattoos, and I can see that he kind of was a little bit embarrassed that I sort of walked in on his thing. But he's one of the people working there, and he's wearing a tie, and he's wearing a jacket, and I can see that why he's taking a photograph of himself is because he's proud of how he's looking, and I imagine he doesn't dress up that way very much. I just got that sense. And so, of course, look, typically what I would love to do when I see people in those situations is just connect. And we chatted. I said, hey, how are you doing, man? He says, great. You know, and I went to the bathroom. And anyway, so we said hi and bye type of thing. And about an hour or so later, I'm walking out of the place. And I walked up to him and said, hey, any chance I can get a photograph with you? Yeah, and it's a small act, but I remembered what I saw in the bathroom. And I remember, and you could see this guy grow an inch. And not because I was anyone special. I was no one. I was just, I'm dressed like an 80s rocker. It's because I wanted to have a photograph with him. And I said, hey, I got to tell you, you look amazing tonight. And you could see him almost not blushing, but his pride and just feeling beautiful. And I think we all want that, right? And so I took some couple of photographs with him and, you know, and he gave me a real big smile and a big thank you, sincere thank you. And there was kind of all these other workers around and some of them were kind of like moping around and not really wanting to be there. And I could see his chest expand and he felt, you know, just felt really like seen. Yeah, and I think that's a great word to use, to see people. So, you know, I think a couple of things, the points I'm trying to make is really this ability to ask for what we want in any situation is that really when we have the ability to connect with people, we can ask for anything. And when we ask for things, it's so remarkable how many of us, and people ask me for something, I'm going to go out of my way. I'll bend over backwards to help someone. I know I shared in a show one time, I think, where, you know, I love making people's dreams come true. And if someone, I mean, some of them are so simple. I mean, one guy wanted to drive an 18-wheeler, and I just happened to know someone with an 18-wheeler. So, you know, within an hour, there's this guy fulfilling his lifetime dream. You know, I mean, if I knew Richard Branson, right? Well, I bumped into Richard, actually. It was kind of funny. Since I've been starting to do this work, I've started to believe that I can attract anyone to me, you know, and people I want to talk to on the show and my guests, you know, they're I think they're easy to attract when you have that sort of mindset. And so, you know, I mean, if one of my friends wanted to go to space and I was really, you know, close friends with Richard Branson, surely that's the same thing, isn't it? I mean, maybe it wouldn't cost the same, but if we were like really, really close friends, you don't know. You never know. You never know what can possibly happen. But I think there's so many of us that are willing to accept the limitations of life instead of just grasping that everything is possible. And so as I sort of look at the show right now, I'm just going to move the recorder so it's going to sound, because I can't see what the time is right now. But I see we got about 9 minutes left here. And, you know, I really, I wanted to share a few of the questions that I think maybe we can ask ourselves that would change life. And here's a couple. I mean, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but it's not just asking other people for things. It's asking ourselves great questions that I think can really change life. Like, if today were the last day of your life, would you want to do what you're about to do today? Isn't that a great question? Just let that one sink in for a second. If today were the last day of your life, would you want to do what you're about to do today? You know, and let that one ponder that. And if not, then what would we do about it? Now, what about another great question? You know, are you holding on to something? Is there something? Because I always say if you hold on to anger or hatred or distrust or any of those negative, dark emotions, if you hold on to those things, I always say it's like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. So the question I need to ask myself is like, am I holding on to something that I need to let go of? And that's often around forgiveness, right? Here's a great one. Here's a great question I think could change your life. And if the only thing you got out of the show was this question, if you had a friend who spoke to you in the same way that sometimes you speak to yourself, how long would you allow that person to be your friend? And we know, I mean, I talk about the imposter in my CD series. I don't know if you've seen the CDs on the website, the Kick-Ass Life. I have some of my CDs in there. But the journey to the stage, I talk a lot. I use the stage as a metaphor. But that whole negative voice in our head, that sort of grumpy roommate, that negative roommate that we have in our head, that sort of the imposter, I call it, that the other voice. So I'll say it again. If you had a friend who spoke to you in the same way that sometimes you speak to yourself, how long would you allow that person to be your friend? Here's another great one. What's the difference between living and existing? You know, and what would it take for you to really live? And money, often we use money as this kind of determination of how we live a life. And for some of us, yeah, money is. It depends where you live. I mean, but I've always been on the mindset because I backpacked for 10 and a half years. Yeah, I know I lived with nothing for years, for a decade. So I know money isn't the root of that. Although now I've become very, very wealthy, you know, and I can afford to do things I couldn't before. I didn't own a car for almost a decade. I had nothing. I lived out of a backpack for a decade. So I know money isn't the root of that. But I also realize choices are. And if you live somewhere that's very expensive, you know, and you don't have that mindset to change that, you know, how much you earn, then obviously it's very, very easy to get stuck. However, you know, if you lived in a different climate sometimes or a different place in the world, you know, you can live beautifully without less, or you can start changing your mindset and creating, you know, more income or residual income. My favorite thing is residual income, as I know. I'd love to teach each one of you about multiple streams of residual and passive income. Yippee doobie. I love it. Here's a great question to ask yourself. If we learn from our mistakes, why are we always so afraid to make them? Isn't that a great question? If we learn from our mistakes, and I think that's, you know, I always attempt to make so many mistakes because it's so, I mean, when we go into the world knowing that we want to make mistakes, then I think it's really, really, really awesome. And you know, here's another great question. What impact do I want to leave on the world? What impact do I want to leave on the world? And then another great question to ask myself is this. Is it out of reach? Or have I just not stretched myself far enough yet? Is it out of reach? Or have I not just stretched myself far enough yet? Anyway, so you can see there's so many great questions we can ask ourselves. Apart from asking for what we want, is asking great questions of ourselves. If life is so short, why do we do so many things we don't like and like so many things we don't do? I'll do that one again because it's so important. If life is so short, why do we do so many things we don't like and like so many things we don't do? Here's a beautiful one. And this is the thing, the point I just made about the tattoos and, you know, how we read people and, you know, people we have real bad energy with. If I looked into the heart of my enemy, what do you think I would find that is different from what was in my own heart? And what I found over my 51 years, almost 52 years now, is that nothing, really nothing. I think that we are all so, so, so linked. Our DNAs are linked and what we want out of life is linked. And here's a great question. My life is so short to tolerate blank, blank, blank. What is it you're not willing to tolerate in this short life we have? And I always think that, I lived my first part of my life. I never thought I'd live past 40. And I think that's why I was in such a hurry to do so many things. I just really thought I was going to die quite young. And now I'm lived to 130, of course, because I use great supplements. Ha ha. You see, I have a secret. Oh, yes, I do. Ha 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 ha. I'll be back. If you haven't achieved it yet, what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Go for it. I won't go through too many of these, but you can see that there are so many wonderful, wonderful things. Here's something for a lot of you. A lot of you are holding on to shit, right? How do you know whether it's time to continue holding on or is it time to let go? Just let go, all right, and go for it. So you can see, asking questions is one of those great things. Asking for what you want is one of those great things. And here's the last one I'm going to ask you. What is one fear that you know is holding you back? What's one fear that you know is holding you back? Now, as I'm sort of almost ending, I think I'll have one more show in Australia. I was starting to remember that I was, when I grew up, Rolf Harris was the guy that was... Do you know this?
Dango acting the fool, girl. Just keep me cockatoo cool. All together now. Tiny kangaroo down. Spool. Tiny kangaroo down. Tiny kangaroo down. Spool. Tiny kangaroo down. And take me koala back, Jack.
Take me koala back. That's so funny. Rolf Harris was such a, you know, when I was young, he was like, he's in the charts all the time. You know, obviously... he's a great artist as well, but as I started with kangaroos, I thought I'd end with kangaroos. And, you know, I want to say to you is that, you know, again, as you go through these next weeks and months, is ask for what you want. You know, you got to know what you want, but go ask for it. And you'll be so surprised how many people are willing to help you get what you want. And that when you think it's impossible, it's not. I'll give you one last example of that. We were out the other night, we're in a bar. And there was about 15 of us and local people. And they came back out. They said, oh, the bar is closed. Can't get any more drinks, right? And I sat there for a moment. I said, really? I didn't say it out loud. So I wandered in. I connected with the bartender. And I came out with a round of drinks. And they looked at me and said, what? How did you do that? I said, I just asked her. And she looked at me and she could see I was sincere. And she just said, yeah, and that was it. So anyway, we'll see you on the other side. And I'll be home soon. Can't wait to see my boys. I am missing my boys so much. And I'll see you on the other side. All right, I love you all. Bye.
That was kick-ass.